Good morning. Live from the Ron Scott Communications Center, this is From the Stand. This program is supported by the Commemorative Air Force. The CAF's mission is education, so generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit CAF's website, commemorativeairforce.org, for more information. This morning, we'll celebrate the 10,000th RV with Mr. RV himself, Dick Van Grunsven. We'll also talk about an unusual refueling mission with a KC-135 and an F-4 Phantom, and welcome the cast from EAA's popular Green Dot podcast. But right now, we are welcoming Major General Ken Lewis, who is the Director of Air, Space, and Information Operations for the Air Force Reserve Command at Robins Air Force Base in Georgia. Good morning, sir, and welcome.
Good morning, Steve.
My first question is, how do you get all of that on a business card?
I certainly shorten it up a little bit.
Well, give us a synopsis of what that title entails. It seems like it's a pretty wide-ranging job description.
It is. In the Air Force Reserve, we are part of the total Air Force. There's only two missions in the Air Force that we're not involved in, that being missiles and the U-2. Other than that, we're in everything that the U.S. Space Force has, everything that the Air Force has, and then the new and emerging information operations. So we fly all the airplanes. We're out there doing the business every day.
Most of us here are familiar with airplanes. There are a number of Air Force assets already on the Boeing Plaza. But what about the space assets? What does that cover?
We have space missions like the global, the GPS, okay, and communication satellites out there. We fly them. And the new thing is the offensive space out there. So lots of listening, lots of watching, and just making sure that we can operate freely in that space.
Okay. And information operations?
Information operations. Well, in the new age, with cyber being what it is, right, and with Facebook and all the ways to access public opinion, there's ways to wage war, if you will, prior to actually shooting bullets. So we're looking to advance our efforts in there and control some of that that's levied against us.
Amazing. At things that you just never even thought of, but make total sense in today's world.
Certainly.
So how did you, you were a private pilot before you joined the Air Force, but what was the impetus for you to join the Air Force?
Well, I was actually walking down the hallway in the student union at Kansas State University, and I saw a flyer to join the Marines. And,
okay.
I went and talked to them. I called my mom and dad all excited about I was in pre-med, and this was kind of a course change for them. And they said, well, if you want to fly, why don't you at least talk to the Air Force? So I went and talked to those recruiters in the ROTC, and the rest is history. They hooked me on, changed my degree over to engineering, and said, you can be a pilot if you do that. And what a wonderful career it's been.
Good. You, it being the year of the tanker, one of the reasons we're talking to you today is because you were with KC-135s for about 14 years as a pilot and instructor.
Certainly. I have around 4,000 hours in that airplane. It's my first lesson. It's like riding a bicycle for me. Every time I go back to fly it, I know where the switches are, and I know what they do. So that's kind of fun. A guy in my position, I get the opportunity to fly everything the Air Force Reserve has.
Okay.
So it's always good to go back to the tanker where I know what things do.
Describe for us a typical tanker mission profile. What actually happens? I mean, we've seen them fly by with the aircraft, and I think people have a general idea of what happens when the boom comes down and it goes into the gas tank, but there's got to be more that happens before and after.
Yeah, there's quite a bit for a 135 to get up and refuel the different kinds of airplanes up there. When I first joined, it was a four-man crew. There was a navigator and two pilots and a boom operator. And since then, the avionics have become much, much better, much more advanced. So the navigator's not with us anymore, but the boom operator sure is. So we do a couple hours worth of mission planning, figuring out the altitudes, the airspeeds, all the things that go into that particular receiver, because all those are different for each one. And we brief those up. We brief all the safety things up, just like any good crew does. And then you take off, and really it's a matter of timing. That rendezvous with big airplanes is sometimes complicated when things don't go right, when there's clouds or weather in the track that you're trying to get into. So So you mesh up with those guys, and then the boom operator actually goes all the way back to the back of the airplane, lays down on his stomach, and the receiver, and it doesn't matter what receiver it is, they come up, and we have lights underneath there. It tells you forward, back, whatnot. They park that airplane as stable as they can get, and then the boom actually flies the actual boom into the other airplane. We flip the switches. We can offload about 6,000 pounds a minute, which sounds really fast unless you're in a lot of weather and you're trying to get somewhere else. But these are very professional. My first boom operator was 17 years old when he started doing that.
Oh my!
And but very very competent, very professional in what he did, and just had a great career too. But then that's done. We normally go back into the pattern, do some training there. The new way of doing things, we're all about readiness today and ready for what and what kind of scenarios we can get in. So we do some training, if you will, more towards what would it look like, is there a threat out there? So right. We do some of that now.
Talking with Major General Ken Lewis, Director of Airspace and Information Operations for the Air Force Reserve. When you say they actually fly the boom into position, the little wings that you see sticking out from the boom, they're actually, so the boom operator is making that final connection.
Certainly is. It's rudder evaders, and then he can extend it and retract it when he gets into the right position.
About how much space do you have to work with? I suppose it depends on the airplane. Obviously, the boom doesn't go 100 feet,
yeah.
There's only a little space. So
yeah,
what kind
it's,
of
it's not much, and I can tell you from being on the other end in planes like C-5s and C-17s that it seems like quite a small space sometimes. But you come up on a 30-degree line, so you're 30 degrees back, and somewhere around 20 feet or so is what you want to be. But I've been much closer and then dropped off much further. So you have to about 30 feet back.
Okay, so that is relatively close formation work.
It's close formation work with big airplanes. A little more comfortable with the small ones. But
okay. You mentioned the C-5. We were talking before we came on the air. This is the 50th anniversary of the C-5 Galaxy. That when you said that, I was like, wow.
50 years since it rolled out. I was in Atlanta for the celebration there as we rolled it out with the governor. And what a great airplane it's been. Just a workhorse for the Air Force of moving people, Band-Aids and bullets and munitions and everything else all over the world for 50 years. It's upgraded in the avionics and upgraded the engines, 20% more power now than it used to have. Don't have to refuel it as much, so it's easier on the system there, but it is a wonderful, wonderful platform.
And the other anniversary we're celebrating is the Air Force Reserve is now 70 years old as well.
70 years old this year.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. We are happy to be here, happy to celebrate it, happy to have some assets here at Oshkosh. The KC-10, the crew is an all-female reserve
right.
crew.
Yep.
The C-5 is a reserve crew that's out there, C-130. So we have some airplanes here for people to look at, some crews here for people to talk to, and certainly we're excited about it being 70 years.
Tell us a little bit about how the three, I don't want to say branches of the Air Force, but the three arms of the Air Force work together, the Air Force itself, Air Force Reserve, and the Air National Guard.
Right. So there's three components.
Right.
The active duty Air Force is the fight tonight. That's kind of how we term that. They're there. They're ready to go. They can be there at any time. Just send them out the door. For the reserve and the guard, we're pretty quick as well. We've got a little bit more time theoretically, but we've answered the phone call and certainly been out the door pretty quick too in all those mission sets that we've talked about.
Right. And then for the Air National Guard.
Yeah, same with the Air National Guard. They're a little bit more state-centric,
right.
If you will. And they have some missions that we don't, which is some local statewide help there with humanitarian events and those kind of things if they come up.
Good. Always career opportunities with the Air Force or the Reserve, and the careers are changing as we're talking about space technology and information technology. if someone's here, how do they find out more about how to become a part of the Air Force?
Certainly. The Air Force recruiters are here at Oshkosh. They're also in your hometown out there. Please do get a hold of them. A lot of people think if you have a business or you have a job on the outside, that precludes you, but we certainly have space within our career fields to, you know, we have airline pilots, we have plumbers, we have business owners, we have everybody out there that are wanting to give a little bit more to their country, so they're part of the Air Force Reserve. We're happy to have them.
And a perfect example of that is Jessica Hudson, who flew in the KC one day, and then the next day turned around and flew in her regular job for UPS, the MD-11, and that just shows you that they can work together seamlessly.
Certainly do. We support each other very, very well.
Major Ken Lewis, Director of Airspace and Information Operations for the Air Force Reserve Command, welcome back to Oshkosh, and hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here this weekend.
Thank you much. It's been a pleasure.
And you're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.